Brian Somerville, and you're listening to a Kick in the Shin podcast. Joining me this evening in the hidden room is Seth Metcalf. How you doing this evening, Seth?
I'm stoked to be back. It's been so long since we potted, so I'm ready to get at it.
It has been a while. It has been quite some time. Took a couple weeks off. Also in the hidden room, we got Griff with us as well. How you doing, Griff?
Good, yeah. It has been a real disjointed group lately, but I'm glad we're all sitting around here once again, you know. Glad to be back.
Yeah. We've also got one other member of our party, Rob. How you doing this evening, Rob?
I'm being held against my will. I'm doing great, Brian, actually. It's been a while. It's been too long. We should do this more regularly, though.
Held against your will. We got ravioli and beer. And
yeah, ravioli and beer.
You're quite the prisoner.
Hobgoblin beer.
Yeah, we got I went a little out there. I went out on a limb this evening with some of our beer choices tonight. Hobgoblin beer. What is that? Winchwood Brewery.
Yeah, it's from straight from England, right? Super English. I don't know. It has a cool little goblin on it. I like beers by their labels. Like, I like to try new stuff, so I like to look at their boxes and stuff when I buy new beer.
Yeah.
Has a cool label. Has an axe. Looks
kind of a sweet taste to it.
Mean. Witchwood. Play on words with the witch. It's cool.
Or it's a hobgoblin. That it could be that. Is that still a problem in England, hobgoblins?
No, I think the English community is probably living in fear of hobgoblins.
Overly sensitive upon to it, right? City.
Do they have an awareness month?
Minor outbreaks.
Yeah. Minor outbreaks. But yeah, it's been quite a while since we all got together, man. And oh, that English Premier League, all that stuff's heating up. Champions League, Sporting Kansas City. I mean, so much exciting stuff to talk about.
Almost too much stuff to talk about. Now we can jam it in here real fast. It
feels like we have to have like a podcast like every other day to actually stay up on like soccer news abroad, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Especially this time of year.
Yeah, I mean, it's just all the fixtures are crammed in there.
Mm-hmm. And all transfer rumors are starting now. Like, it's just, you know, it's getting heated up for the summer. Pun intended. I don't know. Heated up for the summer is tough. Tough crowd.
Global warming's a political issue, so I don't need to deal with that right now.
Yeah, ready for it to heat up around here, though. Sure. All this rain. Yeah.
Dude, cold Kansas weather. City.
Also, we're going to give a shout out to the weather now. We've reached that point.
Yeah, it's,
you know,
because it's horrible.
Caught in that middle April, time, like, you know, April, where it's like we're just ready for summer.
But March is middle time.
Yeah,
March. April's like 60s.
You don't get all the rain
all the time
and stuff, and it's usually more snowy. In
it's
March,
almost so May, like, and there's snow on the ground in some parts of the city.
Bottom line, over it.
Yeah.
Where's there snow in the city?
Yeah, that's a stretch. What part of the city?
I saw
the general metropolitan area.
I asked that because I saw a car today with snow on it. It was being towed, but that's why I assumed it was being towed from somewhere far away where there is snow. I don't know, though.
Then why did you ask me that question, man?
Because I want to know where that car was coming from.
But it was in the city. You saw snow in the city, regardless.
Snow in the city.
Some snow fell from the car onto the ground.
I'm glad we had
the ground.
I'm glad we had this talk.
Yeah, same here. So it's been somewhat of a roller coaster week for Sporting Kansas City. We had New York Red Bulls on the road on Wednesday, and then literally 3 days later, all the way across country to Los Angeles on the road. And I mean, looking at that matchup, that was always going to be a tall order going in.
It was bullshit.
Yeah, I mean,
it was a tough scheduling, that's for sure.
And isn't this after we've played in what, three other teams' home openers or two other teams' home openers?
Well, I don't think either of these were home openers, but...
No, but it's coming right off that. And then right after coming off that, we...
So far, yeah.
Yeah, we go from New York to L.A. right after that. That's rough.
Yeah. And that's something I'm always happy to see us getting points on the road and stuff. And
it's big, man. It's key to doing well in this league is getting points on the road.
Yeah. I mean, we're always confident we can get points at home, but it's what you do on the road that's going to make the difference here and there. But, I mean, let's start off with the New York game. I mean, that was obviously hit the fresh legs going in. I mean, I don't know. What was your initial reaction to the Sporting Kansas City-New York game?
We won!
I mean, we did win.
Joy!
I mean, that's definitely the biggest thing. I mean, it's not like we, like, imposed our power on New York by any means. Like, they definitely had their fair share of chances. We had our fair share of chances. We scored off of a set piece. We didn't let them score. You know, like, I think that was just the biggest thing. I thought it was a pretty even match for the most part. I mean, yeah, we had the rested legs, but we still had the travel. And, like, I mean, travel sucks. Like, it's tiring. Like, you're in a different time zone. Like, even though, yeah, it's just east, so it's only an hour difference. But it's still, you know, every little bit wears on you a little bit. And, you know, I thought overall we did what we needed to. And, you know, we played good enough to deserve a draw, and we got a win. So, I was pretty, very happy for the most part with our performance.
Say, when was our goal? And
13th minute, I believe.
13th minute.
Set piece, near post cross off of corner from Zusi to Colin. Colin on Agave, right?
Just, Olave.
Or yeah. Olave, yeah. Just manned up on him and near post.
Yeah, he hit it hard near post too, which the near post guy, don't you have to have someone there to block that shot? Or at least to stand there. Did they not have anyone there?
I mean, I think it's a lot. Like, Brian, you're a goalkeeper. Like, did you like guys on both your posts? Did you put a guy on just one of your posts?
Always a man on each post. No reason not to.
See, yeah, we were having this conversation.
Always a man on each post.
I agree.
You see so many goals that just go in right against. I mean, that's where strikers are. That's where they're trained to aim, is right at the post.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a striker's instinct is to get it to the post.
Clearances do you see off the line from corner kicks? Quite a good amount, right? And that's usually the guy that's on that post that is doing that clearance. So,
because they can cover a guy on each post, even they're sticking their leg out can cover a good portion of the goal. So anything, I mean, I think that's significant protection to the goal, and I think that it's a good safety net to your goalkeeper. I mean, obviously you want your goalkeeper to take everything and. In the danger zone, but I mean,
of course,
it's a good safety net.
Yeah.
You disagree with the?
Well, I mean, just sometimes. I mean, tactically, coaches do whatever they want, but I mean, you take the guy off the near post, and you're able to push someone further up the field. And like you're saying, Seth, if you have someone clear the ball off the line, maybe on the far post, maybe in the mix, or you have one extra guy on the counterattack going the other way. And like I said, it's a tactic, and I'm not sure what was going through. New York.
Yeah.
I don't know what they were trying to do, but it just seemed like that early on, maybe, I don't know.
I mean, I think personally the safest and best, but if I was a manager, is I'm dropping 9 field players back into the box on corner kicks, and I'm leaving one guy up high, like right in the middle, to pick up anything loose.
Yeah. Of course, we'll see how long New York's coach lasts.
Corner kick, your goal is immediately under threat.
Yeah.
That means you
Right, they get a free shot of just whipping the ball into the mixer, and their guy's crashing in on it.
But, digress.
What about the real event besides the goal? The red card on Janino.
Getting the red card.
Kicking the ball at Nielsen, hitting him in the chest. Nielsen, of course, covering his face and going down. And pretending like the ball hit him in the face, Janino picks up the red.
No, I mean, Jimmy was all about the hand.
Or what?
I don't think it was play acting to get him a yellow card or get Janino sent off. I think it was play acting to waste time. It's super late in the game. We're up 1-0. Yeah, we're going to try to waste as much time as possible, right? And that just gave Jimmy a chance to waste more time.
Before he even hit the ground, he'd already taken off one of his gloves, and his other glove came off as he was laying there, like, just like, okay, if you're going to give me a reason to waste time, I'm going to waste time.
It. Yeah.
And then, yeah, it's just frustration from Janino, I understand. Yeah. You know, they fought and they were in the match, but we were always the better side.
Yeah.
Scoring early, you know.
Definitely.
After 80 minutes of frustration, you're going to be frustrated.
Yeah. And even Jimmy said after the game, like, yeah, they were asked. Media asked him about it. He just said, you know, it was just frustration. And, you know, he doesn't hold it against Janino. Think it was a cheap shot. He goes, you know, soccer can be a super frustrating game at times. And, you know, he got frustrated. And, you know, Jimmy happened to be the guy that got hit.
Actually.
Yeah.
You know, and.
Well, Jimmy definitely helped in getting him a red card by pretending to be
red card? You guys think it's a red card?
Oh, I'm not sure what a red card
maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. Refs can sense the stuff that's done maliciously and stuff that's not, and I don't know. I mean, it seemed like an instance of, yeah, he kicked it at him, but like you said, it was more about that frustration than it was about, you know, a screw this guy malicious intent. I don't know.
I think since it was, what, it was the 90th minute or game right around that, yeah. Game was over. You send them off, you just keep all tempers, you know, everyone takes a deep breath and calms down. And, you know, in the 12th minute, he's not going to send them off for that kind of thing.
Or give a yellow card and just end the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's one of those things you really have a legitimate case to argue either way. You just give him a yellow card because the game's already fucking over, like, you know. Or you send him off because he's being an idiot at the end of the game. Like, I don't know. Kind of, I guess it'd depend on what mood I'm in as a referee that day. But yeah, I think you could definitely
go either way.
End
of the day, we take 3 points on a tough road opponent. And whereas last season...
Conference opponent.
So let's say one of our biggest competitors for the Eastern Crown. You know, with last season, we had to go there twice. And they only came to our... Sporting Park once. And now the season is flipped. So, I mean, we got the tough road win out of the away game out of the way. but so now we just have the two home games to look forward to, and I don't know. I think we're looking good going into that. So coming up on you know the action at the weekend, you know, I had to immediately turn around, hit that flight cross country, and now we show up at LA. I don't know, Rob, were you surprised that Peter went with the exact same starting lineup?
Well, that was the story of the night for the announcers talking about, you know, Peter Vermes is making a statement by, you know, starting the same 11 players. And I don't know, I mean, far be it from me to question Peter, because he knows the team much better than I do. I mean, maybe that's a statement best left unsaid. Why would you play the same players 2 days later, 3 days later?
Wednesday, Saturday.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
Without making at least a change, I mean, we looked tired. There were moments where we definitely played our game with the high pressure and being able to move up the pitch, but there were moments where it was just obvious we just could not keep up. At least make a change earlier.
Yeah. I don't know. Seth, what did you think of that lineup that was put out there? Did you want to see a change as well? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because, and here's my thing, and it's not about the, personally, looking at the LA game, like, yeah, it's a big game, we want to do well, but when it comes down to it, we're supposed to lose when we go to LA away, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, for the most
part. Alright, LA Galaxy has the most money.
Well, they're historically one of the best teams
in the league. They're one of the best teams in the league. We're playing away, and we just played New York 3 days ago. We're probably going to lose. Like, statistics aren't really lining up for us very well. So, I'm not saying that we're going to lose and that we have that mentality going into it. But my biggest thing is, we don't expect... Like, a draw is a great result for us at LA. And the worst thing that could happen for us is that we get injuries. Like, obviously, we've pretty much showed up almost every game with the exact same lineup. Everyone knows who our starting lineup is right now. It makes us more predictable, and it's not giving the guys on the bench a lot of game time experience, which they do need because we have such a freaking long season with Champions League, with Open Cup, with just the season itself for the MLS Cup. I would have made 3 changes, personally. I would have started Micek Jerome as one of the outside backs. I would have started Peterson Joseph for Benny Fellauber. And then I probably would have started Sooney for one of the front 3 guys.
Sapong, I feel, needs a break.
Most likely Sapong. And then Sapong can kind of come in. He would be able to come in for, you know, whoever else. But I would have made at least 3 changes to it. And none of those changes are actually huge changes for the most part. You know, they don't really affect our team chemistry a whole bunch, but it gives us fresh legs out there and guys that are eager, younger guys that are eager to make an impact, which I think actually is really beneficial when you're playing early games in the season when you're playing away. You can put in the younger guys, they can work hard, you know, they may not be up to speed on some things, but they're, you know, going to try to make up for that with effort, or they should anyway, so, yeah, I completely disagree with what Peter's call was. Like, I love the fire. Love the fire, and this is our starting lineup. But come on, man. Like, we have so many games left to play. It's not a conference opponent. Like,
It's really it. It would have been tough had we seen one of our starters go down from fatigue because they just got off the New York game and then to L.A. But in Peter's defense, you could say, you know, it's L.A., you want to put out your best lineup. But then you have to go into New York ahead of time and maybe play those three guys you were talking about in that game. And so when you move to L.A., your three subs can be the stronger of the players.
Yeah.
But at what point is he going to start this rotation that we need to have? Because we can't be starting the same players all through the MLS season that we're starting in the Champions League.
Agreed.
At what point do we start the rotation? You've got to get those guys, you know, some playing time early on to get them conditioned. That is if we're going to try to win that tournament, which I hope we do.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to have your eye on that trophy.
I mean, even without that, just the Open Cup itself, you expect the same 11 guys to play every week for the season, then you'd have to expect those 11 guys can't play almost at all in the Open Cup.
And that's usually how it is. I mean, at least for the games that I went to last season at the Open Cup. I mean, they did have some first teamers, but it was sprinkled in with a lot of guys.
Yeah, if this is a game I'm expecting to lose or a best tie, let's throw in some guys and get them some playing time.
I agree.
Some hungry guys in a big environment against a big team, you know?
See who steps up.
Yeah.
And then just say, you know, don't get blown out. And if things look bad, then make a sub and, you know, stop leaking goals. But
yeah,
that would have really shown it. That would have been a vote of confidence and faith in our squad.
We are ignoring the fact that game should have been 4-0. Right? McBean should have. We missed one chance where Zusi hit the upright.
First goal was a handball, though, in midfield.
Yeah,
it was. Midfield handball and hard plays on.
Hearsays.
Yeah. But then McBean, who would have had either a perfect pass to, who was it, Donovan, just standing
wide
open. Dude's
like freaking 18 years old, 19 years old.
Doesn't make the wide open shot or pass, which would have easily at least been a shot.
Yeah, I mean,
goal. Jimmy was already beat.
I thought 2-0 was a very...
We were lucky to escape 2-0.
Just for the way the game was played. We looked tired. We weren't good enough. We were sloppy at times. We gave the ball cheaply at times. Donovan looked good, right? Like,
he did. He was effective.
Donovan was super effective.
It looks like he just got done taking a long break.
His runs off the back line.
He was confident out there. You could tell he had that poise about him. Like, I can beat this guy.
Janino and who's the other guy? Sarvis. Like, they ran our midfield ragged. Which I hope that we can learn from that experience, because I had two center midfielders and we played with three. And Janino and Sarvis were like just ding, ding, ding around us the entire game. It sucks, but I think it's also a good reality check for us.
Yeah.
We're kind of flying on cloud nine there for a little bit. We had, what, 5 games straight with shutout. And then not that we got thumped by Galaxy, but you go from not giving up any goals in the previous 5 games to giving up 2 in 1 game. That's, you know.
Giving up, what, 10 opportunities?
Really good, yeah.
I think particularly against the New York game, you know, New York, they were fouling us a lot in their final third. And, I mean, it gave us an opportunity to get balls into the box from, set pieces in dangerous areas.
Where we thrive.
L.A. did a really good job of, I think they knew we were tired. I think they did a good job of just, like, sitting back and waiting for us to attack so that they could catch us on the counter. You know, it's saying, okay, let's go head-to-head and on a runoff and see who's going to win, you know. Because we had such, you know, I think worn legs a little bit out there. And they weren't giving up those fouls in the dangerous locations. I mean, they just point blank, they weren't giving up fouls and giving us the opportunity to throw balls into the, you know, box from dangerous areas. And
we didn't outpossess them like we have been. We did not dominate that stat sheet. You look at almost every other game. New York, we didn't as much as we usually do, but LA, I think we lost it. I mean, possession and shots.
Yeah, I mean, just showed us, we're a really good team, but we still got a ways to go still. The season's a marathon, not a sprint. I'm not worried about a 2-0 defeat away to LA.
You know, that honestly, our play is a pretty slow build up. We like to, you know, overlap outside backs and, you know, slowly build through. And a team like LA, they countered so well that, you know, we would be afraid to push forward. And then when we would, we'd get caught out. I think Chance Myers was invisible 90% of the match. He was on the wrong side of the ball one way or the other.
Yeah.
in attack or defense. And then, you know, you just get overwhelmed with that. But there's not that many teams in the league that are going to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. You play good possession soccer, and you're going to be able to pin them in and hold them in and really go for it. Where LA, you know, they just have that explosiveness that not too many teams possess that.
Yeah. Agreed. Not very many
just general quality through
Robbie Keane and Landy Donovan.
Yeah, I mean,
Cusini and...
You know, they're 1-2 passes away from being in an attacking position just like that. That's tough with our style. Yeah.
Overall, what do you guys think of, like, we got 3 points in 2 really tough road games? Yeah. Like,
I mean, we're hoping for 4, we get 3. And, I mean, looking at the table, we're still top of the East and, you know, second in the Supporters Shield race. So, I think positional-wise, I mean, we're not coming out any worse off.
I think we kind of came out ahead a little bit, because if you tell me you're going to go away to New York at one point in the season and you're going to go away to L.A. at one point in the season, I'd say I'm happy with the draw on both sides.
Yeah.
That's 2 points. We got 3 points out of the deal, so that's not bad at all.
Yeah, I'm happy with the results. I'm not happy with the schedule.
Yeah, I mean, it stinks, but we have 3 home games now.
Yeah.
So we got the game coming up this weekend against Portland.
Yeah.
You guys going to that game?
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be our favorite team to play against, right?
I think we'll beat down on Portland a little bit.
It's our old reserve squad.
Yeah, basically. Isn't it? It is.
Jewsbury captaining Portland, and then Michael Harrington.
Michael Harrington.
What position does he play? Is he like somewhere between defender and midfield?
He's a striker.
Good friend of the pod, Michael Harrington.
Yeah, great friend of the pod.
The wayward goalkeeper,
sure,
with no hands.
I just hope he's on the side cauldron side for a little bit so I can yell at him again. I'd get a lot of pleasure out of that.
Good old Michael Harrington.
Yeah.
I have nothing but good things to say.
I don't know. I'm stoked for it. It's supposed to be like mid-60s. Like,
yeah, beautiful.
Beautiful weather. Awesome. Like, make it out to Sporting Park. It's going to be awesome. I think we'll take care of business, definitely. Portland's like just one of those teams, you know, they really feed off their home crowd. Like, super passionate supporters. The Timbers Army does a real good job, but, you know, they struggle away, and I think we'll do all right against them.
So do you want to, I mean, are we going to see some changes to the lineup, you think? Or does Vianney's go with that same starting 11?
If you only have a 3-day break and you don't change the lineup, like, 4-day break, just assume no change. But after a result like we got in L.A., I could see a few guys coming in, maybe Jerome, you know, maybe Peterson, Joseph getting a start.
Yeah,
maybe I'm going as far as Sunni, someone like that. I don't know. I don't want to see it change too much because obviously we've been going with the same lineup all season long. You don't want to just drastically change it by any means. You don't want to lower morale or anything. But one or two new guys introduced.
We do got to start plugging other guys in there.
Yeah. Oh, got to.
We really do need to.
And three home games in a row. You know, now's a good time to start.
Yeah, definitely. Best time to start for sure.
Who would fill in for Claudio Bieler if he were to get a rest? He's played every match so far.
Push Sapong up at that spot and maybe play Sunni out left.
Okay.
Most likely.
And that's the only option we really have, right? Is Sapong up top then.
Yeah, I mean, our only other strikers.
I mean, that's scary. Sapong's, I mean,
really on loan right now.
He's been struggled with injury. I mean, he's had injuries in the past. I mean, and it just puts you in that position where you only have 2 strikers. One gets injured, you're in
some dangerous. I mean, Teal should be coming back, though, soon. You know, that'll definitely give us a little more depth and competitiveness for slots up front. Not that Teal's the greatest option.
I mean, he's still got a while to get back on pace with everyone. But yeah, it will be nice to get him back. We need him back because, as we were just saying, you know, we don't have the depth there. Mm-hmm.
And a guy like Teal Bumbear will tear up teams in the Open Cup and, you know. Definitely. It'd even be effective against, you know, group play and Champions League, I think. Just his style, just his pace, and, you know, running at guys, definitely.
Spoiling lesser players.
No, for sure. Definitely for sure. So, I don't know. Yeah, it's a... it'll be good. We'll be fine. We do need some depth back. It'd be nice to get that guy Kai Kamara back as well.
I know his deal is up on May 6th. So, his deal with Norwich is up on May 6th, and I feel like his whole deal is contingent on the fact of whether or not Norwich end up staying up within the Premier League.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think it's safe to say at this point. Well, no, I don't know. It could go either way. I feel like they're not safe right now. But, I mean, well, they're safe on the table, but, I mean, there's still four games left to play. And so, you know, I think had their position be a little bit more solidified, whether they were safely promoted or definitely relegated, I think we might have seen a decision already around that issue. But
So what you're saying is if Norwich gets relegated, which they moved down to a bottom league for those who don't know that whole system, do you think he'll come back? Or if you think they stay in the EPL, do you think he'd come back?
I think if Norwich goes down, Kai Kamara comes back to Sporting Kansas City.
I would hope so. There's no reason to stick around and play in a championship squad. Like, yeah, come on sure. back.
Yeah, I mean,
wait till next year and go back to Norwich.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree. And everything that I've read is that, you know, if Norwich does go down, then, you know, one, they're not going to really have the money to buy another striker, especially with Ricky Wolfsbane. Binkle,
yeah.
Face, or whatever the heck his name is.
The best footballing name.
Right? Coming in, you know, and they're paying 7.5 for him. You know, Kai's going to be $1.5 million probably is what the transfer fee will probably come out to. I don't know. I think, yeah, it all depends on whether or not they stay up. Personally, I want them to go down because I think we need Kai, like, really bad. I think he'd just bring such a different element to our, you know, to our ability to going forward and attacking teams, and definitely he's different than Bieler, he's different from Zusi, he's different from Fellhopper, all of our, you know, our front four guys, you know, he's different from CJ, definitely.
I was gonna say he takes CJ's spot.
Yeah, I mean, oh yeah, for sure. CJ goes back to the bench, you got Kai on the left, you got Bieler up front, and Zusi on the right, you know, and, you know, Zusi and Kai switching, you know, often, you know, sides. So I would love to see him back. Personally, I love Kai to death, but he just doesn't look super effective in the Premier League, you know, because one, he plays for a team that they don't share a whole lot of possession in the game. He's not a focal point like he is on our team, so he's just, you know, does a lot of running and not a whole lot with the ball a lot of the times, which stinks, you know. But last thing I heard from Peter Vermes is that, yeah, like I talked to Peter. basically, the deal is completely done. It just requires Kai to agree to it and for Norwich to agree to it. So, it's just those two things. But all the paperwork's done. Everything is just basically signing it. And it kind of felt like, you know, we're okay with either or. We either, you know, take the money or we, you know, get a real good player back too, so.
Yeah, we could get another DP with that money we got for Kai.
Kaka.
Kaka, Kansas City?
Yeah.
Something Kansas crazy City. Would be nice, right?
Starts with Ka, Kansas City.
Fat Frank would be cool.
That'll never happen.
Never happen, yeah.
That'll never happen. But I don't know, so our MLS, you know, hunt for a supporter shield continues on.
Yeah.
I don't know, I want the supporter shield, that's what I want. I mean, the cup will be great, but I want a supporter shield. So I hope, because right now FC Dallas, they're, I think, 5 points ahead of us in the supporter shield race. Like, I hope we don't kind of lose touch with that. Because I feel like there's a tendency for us to somewhat kind of focus on the Eastern Conference and take pride and accomplishment in that, which is good, topping the Eastern Conference and a good way to put yourself in a good position to top the table overall, but I hope we keep an eye on that supporter shield and don't let the Western Conference teams like overpower us, you know?
Yeah, don't let three or four of them jump ahead. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thing is, if we continue to focus on the supporter shield, like, the Eastern Conference will come, so why would you think about the lesser of the two at all?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Go for that shield. And it's still early, you know? Like we said, we haven't had a tough schedule so far. 5 points, we'll make that up pretty quick.
Hit us up on Twitter, give us a follow at A Kick in the Shin. We're always on there, always tweeting awesome soccer articles, interesting stuff. So definitely give us a follow. You can get all the latest information on our pod. We also tweet awesome stuff about Sporting Kansas City, so it's a real good source to get all of your soccer information. Shout out to Hobgoblin Beer. I don't know about you guys, but I'm a big fan. I think it's great. another import, English import. One of my favorite beers is Newcastle, so it's always good to see another English beer that I really like. I'm a fan of the ales myself.
Yeah, I like dark ales. They're cool.
Cool bottle and all that stuff.
Yeah, you have to expect if they spent this much time on the bottle, they probably spent a similar amount of time on the brewing and that came out.
You hope, anyway.
Yeah. Right? It's good. Yeah, I like it. Definitely delicious this evening.
Sporting Kansas City going to be action on Saturday, and I hope to see you guys at the game. Look out for us at the Side Cauldron, definitely.
Yeah, if you want a good time,
yeah, hit us up at the Side Cauldron. We were just standing, yelling, I don't know.
Screaming, singing.
Screaming, throwing.
No. It's an all-ages event. Family friendly. Come on now.
I feel like we're either making friends or we're making enemies, but there's nothing in between. Making moves.
That's we'll see sure. All that more at Sporting Park this weekend, but I'll see you guys out there. So
yeah,
cheers, man.
Yeah, peace.